from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now you kiss and Chase Utley and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay, that sounds good.
Pal
around.
I'm
gonna read it.
Yeah, read it.
Dear Chase... Oh, they're stickers.
Yeah.
My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
Welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you're missing the first hour, you can download that fan podcast at 10ofthefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, including places that rhyme with Beerify.
I want to say the Padres right now have more runs than hits. I could be wrong on that, but
that would be a cool stat.
I think they got two runs and one hit.
That can happen.
We are also on YouTube. You can check us out on YouTube. Check out every show on YouTube.com/1080AM. The Fan, you can find us there. Fun story, I will be on Dirt and Sprague on Thursday. I'll be hosting that show, so tune in the morning. If you're listening to this dumb show, you probably don't wake up early for that.
I literally just yawned.
Yeah,
with the idea.
Just hearing that.
Just the idea, dude.
It, 6 a.m.
In my brain, I am like wrapping my head around about what my tomorrow looks like. Like,
try to
how
prep.
I'm going to do this. God. Because I do not get up at 4:30 in the morning. And when I do, I like pee and then go back to bed.
Yeah, it's a good thing you don't have this show on Wednesdays anymore.
Yeah, thank God.
That is one thing about waking up that early when you normally don't. Your bowels aren't ready.
Yeah.
When you wake up. So yeah. Then you're like 3-4 hours later, not anywhere near a toilet, and you're like,
Yep. Coming up in 15 minutes, who should take the worst job in baseball? Plus, we'll have fair or foul at
I'll
the bottom
do
of the
it.
Hour. Joe will do it. I would also do it.
It can't be much worse.
I would also do it.
You can put it on the ball.
But I want to give Joe some love on this. We, you know, Joe and I
Me?
Always, you, my friend,
all right.
You, my friend, I want to give Joe a little love on this. As Joe and I always show prep, we kind of talk to each other on Tuesdays and kind of say, what are you thinking? You know, what do you got? You know, da, 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 da. I always give him a few.
I was ghosting you like a Tinder date.
And Joe was ghosting me all day. And then I was worried that he was like out of service and he was like skipping this week and I had forgotten, which then I was terrified because I was like, I got nothing for this show. And then Joe showed up out of nowhere with some really great stuff. And you brought up a great point. We're kind of looking at, as we are here in mid-August and we're coming down the playoff stretch. And we've kind of talked about this all show and I kind of teased it. Like I was off the grid for about 5 days And I came back and I noticed the Yanks and the Orioles were tied for first place in the East. And Cleveland all of a sudden didn't have the best record in baseball. And the Phillies had gone on a terrible losing streak. And San Diego and Arizona are catching up. And you kind of talked to me about the lack of dominance in Major League Baseball this season.
Just seems like we always have one or two teams that just are a cut above the rest. I mean, it seems like it's been the Astros for the last 10 years.
And what's funny is they don't always win the World Series, there's always somebody.
Yeah, and there's always that kind of regular season dominance. And it just seems like right now, at this point in the season, we're hitting this weird stride where the teams that are leading their divisions or the quote-unquote best teams in the league are not playing like it. My Orioles are not playing like the best team in the American League. The Yankees have not been playing like the best team in the American League for a while now. The Cleveland Guardians, they have lost their lead a little bit against the Minnesota Twins. I want to say that they won because it was a 4-game split. I think that they split the 2 games apiece, and now their division lead is at 3.5, where earlier this year it was much higher than that. I mean, it was more so.
Cleveland's 3.5 up on Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, that can flip in a week. I mean, how many games
four and six in their last 10.
How many games above the Royals are they? Like 4.5, 5.5? Somewhere?
Royals are 6 back.
6 back? Okay, gotcha. And then, I mean, the West is the West. We know what's going on there. But you flip over to the National League. The only team that is really surging in the National League as far as those top teams goes is the Brewers. They're playing a lot better.
Mm-hmm. They have 7.5 game lead over St. Louis.
Yes, and that division outside of them, it seems like nobody wants to go to the playoffs from that division. The Cardinals did for a while, and then the Reds did, and then the Pirates wanted to, and then they decided they wanted to lose 9 games in a row.
I've been watching baseball for 30 years. If you play in the Central, nobody wants to win the division.
My God. And then the NL East, it's like the Phillies, they are still running away with that division for the most part. I think an 8-game lead there.
6.5.
See? I mean, like, the fact that it's not at least 8 games with the way that their season started, I mean, they had like a 6-game losing streak last week.
The Braves are 3-7 of their last 10, but the Phillies are 4-6.
They just lost the series to the Diamondbacks.
Yep. They did in the playoffs last year.
The Braves, woof.
Oof. Boy, talk about a loaded team that I want nothing to be a part of.
Well, also, like, talk about a team where it's like, yay, you made the playoffs. Like, at this point, it's like, just put, you know, we're good.
Have you seen?
we'll skip these playoffs.
Have you seen Matt Olson's numbers lately?
Oh, we're batting like 220, yeah, 215, something like that. No,
ouch.
No, I mean, RBIs.
He hit two seasons worth of homers last year. So. Oof.
And then the Dodgers, we talked about it earlier in the show, is they have lost their lead against the Diamondbacks and Padres. Now it's more so, Diamondbacks and Padres. It's because they've been playing a lot better, and Diamondbacks have been middling a little bit. They've missed Mookie. They were without Freddie Freeman. Yoshi went down. And they got some new additions to help bolster the team, but Kiermaier does nothing for them offensively.
Absolutely nothing.
It's been super weird. And then I went through just the last couple of seasons as far as like teams that had the best records over the last few years. And at this point, over the last few seasons, so last year, the Braves were 34 games above 500. The best team in MLB record-wise this year, right now, is only 21 games above 500.
Yeah.
Orioles last year, they were 28 games above 500. 2 years ago in 2022, on this date, the Astros were 33 games above 500. The Dodgers were 46 games above 500. And then 2021, the Giants, they were the best team record-wise in MLB, which seems like a lifetime ago.
Which is hilarious because they completely lost it.
Yeah, 34 games above 500 at that point. So again, it just seems like this year, there is no dominant team, even though there should have been, with all the spending the Dodgers did. The Orioles coming into the scene probably felt really good as far as their lineup went. Pitching, much to be desired, but they've had a lot of injuries on the pitching side. Again, it's just like, and we didn't know what was going to happen with the Central. It's just maybe the crappier teams have just won a lot more games than we anticipated, mm-hmm. and that's where it's kind of evening things out. But it really just feels like none of these teams are separating themselves right
now. Yeah, and I think when we look forward to try to think, you know, it's hard to predict. We're still in mid-August. It's kind of easier when you get into September. But if you look at it, Yankees and Orioles, extremely inconsistent.
Yes, since the All-Star break, the Orioles have been maddening.
Cleveland of late has been a little sketchy. The Phillies, the Braves, I mean, the Mets are desperate. Like, I watch them play baseball, and that is some of the most desperate baseball I've ever seen. Like, bringing in relievers, like, when you're down three that you bring in when you're up one. You know, like, that's desperate baseball. Dodgers haven't been good. But then you look at teams like Houston, who are coming on like gangbusters. You're looking at, we talked in the first segment or the second segment about Arizona and San Diego. Who's the division leader that you're most worried about when you're looking at LA? I would say the Dodgers. I'll give Houston because they're a game and a half up on Seattle, Cleveland, or Yankees, Orioles. Like, what's one of those teams that you are most concerned about coming through to the end?
My Orioles have been scaring me lately because of the pitching health. Grayson Rodriguez just went down.
Starters are rough in Baltimore.
It's like, dude, yeah, I don't know what's in the water over there. It's really scaring me because they'll have a great game offensively one day, and then the next they'll just give up 7 to 8, 9 runs. The Orioles are scaring me. The Dodgers, I feel like they're getting people back.
Kershaw
just came back. Yep.
Yamamoto should be back soonish.
Yeah, we'll see about that. I have a little bit more faith in them. And also, like, dude, yeah, as long as they have Shohei, it seems like they're just, like, unstoppable. That dude is just hitting a home run every other night, it seems like. I would say that Cleveland, just because, I mean, we didn't think they were going to be this good at the beginning of the season.
I thought they'd be okay. Yeah. Nobody thought they'd be good. Yeah. Great, potentially.
And Minnesota is starting to come on strong. Kansas City is starting to play really well. I wonder if, like, that division is going to beat itself up and maybe. But then again, it's like Minnesota late season playoffs. Like, when have they given you an inspired any confidence? It's crazy to think that Milwaukee right now is playing the best baseball and they don't win anything in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, is that? Imagine Milwaukee coming out of the National League this year.
Well, I feel like, okay, so you look like Yankees and Baltimore are 1-2, okay? But they're up 6.5 on the Red Sox. Cleveland is first, but they're up 3.5. Astros are up 1.5. Phillies are up 6.5, but the Braves have talent.
They're not, you know.
Dodgers are up 4, waiting on the results of games tonight. But the Brewers are up 7.5. They feel like the most lock.
And they just play they,
okay. To go to the playoffs. They feel like the biggest lock.
We'll see.
Well, not to go to the playoffs, but to win their division.
Yeah. I would say that is a lock for winning the division is the Brewers. Like, the way that they're playing and the rest of that division has played this year, everybody's just been so damn inconsistent, and they haven't been.
There's just so much fringe.
Good for them.
There's just so much fringe. If Cleveland's bullpen, which might be the best bullpen in baseball, if they blow a game, that hurts. Okay? If Soto and Judge don't hit, boom, that hurts. If Burns isn't on the mound and Orioles get hit, boom, that hurts. George Kirby went on the mound today and gave up 11 runs in 4 innings. Boom, that kills the Mariners. Like, it feels, to your point, Joe, it feels like the margin, like having that random Tuesday game against a team you should beat, that if you lose, it's more detrimental than it should be. Like, the Astros grinded out a game today against Tampa, and the Mariners got blown out by Detroit and with Kirby on the mound. And that's like, oh, ooh, that hurts.
Yeah, the celebration from Sunday Night Baseball definitely that wore off quickly.
Yeah, yeah. So, to your point, wow, it's wild. Like, if you had to tell me right now who's the best team in baseball, I don't have an answer.
I don't either. I guess I would lean Dodgers, but just only because they're getting
Shohei and Glasnow.
But they're getting healthier. But again, the best team in baseball over the last month has been the Padres.
Yes.
So, and once we get to October, man, God only knows what's going to happen then.
Buckle up.
I'm with the way things are playing out right now, I'm getting very excited for the postseason.
Well, Texas won a World Series last year because we were basically in the same situation we are now. Records just didn't show it.
Yeah.
So it's who's going to get hot.
Yep.
So that's what we'll have to watch for. All right, coming up after this, we'll dive into, is there, who wants this? Who wants potentially the worst job in baseball? And could an old crime, an old scorned lover be back in this? Or should you give it to the kid? We'll do that next. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. Schultzy on the ones and twos, 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We'll see you in 3 weeks at the Gorge, my friend. Boy, I can't wait. This should be a good year at the Gorge.
Ooh, I'm excited. I gotta get tickets to that.
You going to Dave?
I'm going to Dave.
You're going to Dave?
My wife and I put it on the calendar like 2 months ago. We're going, baby.
Oh, wow.
We got to hook up, have a drink.
That's my 18th year in a row, so.
Yeah, maybe
this is our first.
A fentanyl-laced joint while you're at it.
No, actually, I had a buddy that had a fentanyl-laced joint once.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, just smoke
your own.
Wasn't
it at Dave?
Yeah, it was at Dave.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, smoke your own stuff.
Come on. Yeah.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get to Fair or Foul, everybody's favorite, as we do, is the bottom at 8 o'clock hour every Tuesday. But I want to get into this. You know, there's a lot of...
Nah, we ain't taking that.
You know what's... White
Sox.
You took it 21 times.
You know, what's funny is I keep looking back at the beginning of the season and kind of some things we said. I am very happy, and I've been bragging to my baseball friends about... Now, I wasn't completely right, but I was not wrong that Kansas City is pretty good. You guys remember I sat here with you at the beginning of the year. Kansas City is pretty good, and it wasn't a Bobby Witt thing. It was I liked the additions they made to the team. Sal Perez is at a career year. The bullpen is nice. Seth Lugo has been amazing, although he got completely torched tonight. Thank you for my fantasy team.
Cole Reagans.
But there is nothing we saw. And we've talked about this for weeks and weeks and weeks, how bad the White Sox have been. I'll ask the first question. Are you shocked that Pedro got fired?
No.
I was a little surprised.
Really?
Because why didn't you do it 3 weeks ago?
Why did you hire him in the first place?
Exactly.
That's it's at this point, I think you heard something in the interview you wanted to hear, and after a year and a half of futility, a change has to be made or the fans are just going to riot.
I was surprised that he got fired because this...
Was this his second or third
year? Second year.
It's his second...
He took over for Tony La Russa,
He took over for La Russa.
Listen, we know the team is bad talent-wise, but there has to be something to be said, like, you shouldn't be, like, this terrible.
This bad.
Like, there is a point of, like, where something managerial comes into play to be able to alleviate some of this, and it just seemed like he was very much just, like, arms up, like, I don't know. Team's lost, season's lost, I don't know what to tell you guys at this point. Let's just, you know... was it Bahamas on three, Galveston on three, 1, 2, 3, and like, so
that dirty ass water.
I
wish I had that drop. I would have clicked it right there.
I don't know if like the White Sox front office and Reinsdorf or whoever's calling the shots, because again, they fired some of their longtime GM. I forget the names of the two guys that were running things.
Well, let's not forget. I mean, 3 years ago,
I think Ken Williams or something like
Kenny Williams. Yeah. He was there for a long time. I mean, in 2019, when they dealt Aaron Rowan to the Nationals. They got Lucas Giolito. They dealt Chris Sale to the Red Sox. They got Yoan Moncada. They drafted Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez. Tim Anderson won two batting titles. They looked like we're building a monster. And Dylan Cease. You know, they looked like they were building a monster. And then something happened down the road where it completely fell apart.
Why am I spacing on who the manager was before Pedro Greifel?
Tony La Russa.
It was Tony La Russa.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because remember, that I think is the...
You probably just said that.
There is a moment where I think was the signal that we didn't notice. We laughed because we thought it was a social media gaffe. Remember, they were going to hire AJ Hinch.
Oh, yeah.
And when they hired Tony La Russa, they put out a tweet that said, "Congratulations, AJ Hinch, next manager of Chicago White Sox."
Did they really?
Yes, but it was Tony La Russa.
Well, there was
we kind of laughed that someone's getting fired, blah, blah, blah. The intern sucks, blah, 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 blah.
Well, there's your omen right there.
But that's when it turned. That's when everything fell apart. Tim Anderson won two batting titles in a row. 2 years later, is out of the league.
Well, and everybody also thought it was a joke of a hire with La Russa, and then he went and got popped for a Dewey.
Yeah.
And it was just
don't
like,
you know who again? I am?
Yeah, ABZYX.
Yeah. It was like, dear God, man. So, what a cluster F that was.
So I started looking at who could be potential replacements. Who could be the next full-time manager of the Chicago White Sox?
Where do I sign?
I found a list. Number one, Joseph Fisher IV.
Whoa!
You got skipped. You got skipped. Medium Joe was higher on the list.
You know, I'm somewhat disappointed. Father playing MLB The Show in front of him lately because he's asking me a lot of basic baseball questions.
You're like, are you an idiot?
Is there such thing as a quadruple play?
I'm Can like, I at least slap
dude.
You?
I'm like, are you serious right now? You're like, killing me,
how
Smalls.
How does that even? Okay.
The first name on the list, funny enough, is Skip Schumacher, reigning National League Manager of the Year. Now, everybody knows the Marlins situation is not great. They just cleaned house of the entire front office. The GM basically fired everybody. And he had some issues coming into this season, so he might be looking to get out. But, I mean, I'd still probably take the Marlins over the White Sox gig right now.
At least you're in Miami.
You're in Miami.
What heap of trash smells a little bit better than the other? I don't know.
The number two option is the current interim skipper, my boy. Grady Sizemore.
Sexy, you can't claim
sexy
him.
Man.
Grady Sizemore, I got a little bit. I'm going to go on a tangent here for a little bit.
Yeah, we know you're rooting for Cleveland again.
When Grady Sizemore was in Cleveland, he was our guy. He played center field. He was good looking dude.
Look at him.
Looked like a Mike Trout light. You know, great defense, hit for average, had a little bit of power, not Trout power, but a little bit of power, RBIs. Injuries killed him. But I loved him so much. Plus, he was offered a full ride scholarship to play quarterback at the University of Washington.
Yeah, Seattle, Washington's own.
He was offered a full ride to play QB1 at UW, and he turned him down. And anybody that turns down UW is a fan in my book.
Okay, I was going to say, I thought you were about to hit me with a Go Cougs.
No. But a Go Cougs. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah. He said no to the Huskies.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Go Ducks.
So Grady Sizemore, who's probably the leading candidate in the clubhouse. He's the interim manager now. There's the wave of Rocco Baldelli, Craig Counsell, Dave Roberts, Aaron Boone, like the young guys, Skip Schumacher, of like being dudes that are not far removed from the game that are managers. There's Freddy Gonzalez, the Orioles bench coach. Ricky Weeks Jr., he's the associate manager in Milwaukee. But here's the big one.
Ricky Weeks? Wow.
Here's the big one. The White Sox are flirting.
No.
With bringing back.
Don't do it.
Uh-oh.
Television analyst.
Yes.
Don't do it.
Ozzie Guillen.
Yes.
Don't do it.
Why
who won
not?
A World Series in 2005 for the White Sox.
I was going to say, yeah, 20 years ago. Because last time you brought back a retread World Series winning manager, how'd that go? And listen, Ozzie Guillen, you know, I love him, but also, of course he thinks, like, dude, give me the job. I'll fix this thing.
The article I read is because he is on their local
Oh, he's the one that Wonder TV guys.
He's like the local TV guys. The argument I read was nobody knows how bad this team is more than Ozzie Guillen.
Oh, that is, yeah.
Why not? I mean, they've literally been S since he left.
As a Terrell Owens fan, like, get your popcorn ready. Like, please sign Ozzie Guillen. Please.
There's part of me that is just like, hey, he was great for us 20 years ago. Let's just bring him back. And there's something about that. I mean, it's just like.
But didn't he get fired because he was like, Reinsdorf's an idiot? And Reinsdorf was like, you're fired.
And then he got fired from Miami for tweeting very, what was it, supportive things of Fidel Castro during a game? During a game, or after he got ejected? Something. It was bad.
Classic Ozzie.
Don't let him tweet, but give him the job.
Oh, that's just Ozzie. Tweeting about Fidel Castro.
Tell me you don't want him.
I mean, I do, but also, if the White Sox want to be an actual good team, then no, don't do it.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, too. I know that list, it seems very imaginative, but there've got to be, like, a list of maybe more settled, less sexy names, like a Joey Cora, like, and he was in Chicago under Ozzie for so many years as bench coach, Manny Acta, current Mariners third
base
coach.
Omar Vizquel was a third base coach for them for a while.
Exactly. There's other names out there that I feel like, I mean, it would be nice to get the young, sexy guy that's had some experience in baseball, but
Or an up-and-coming offensive coordinator, for
he hasn't
lack
been
of
a manager
terms,
in 12
you know,
years.
Like a bench coach.
Exactly.
He hasn't been a manager in 12 years.
Didn't stop him from Tony La Russa.
Exactly. My point exactly. Do not do this. He's going to be like, analytics? Ah, no. We don't use that here.
Nah, we ain't taking that.
Yeah. No, I don't see that going well.
What are the chances that this next hire by the White Sox, we'll get out on this because we're up against it. What are the chances that this next hire by the White Sox puts them back an extra 10 years?
They win, what, 20 games in the entire season? Have a 42 game losing streak. They double up what they did earlier this year.
Have you seen Eloy Jimenez's stats in Baltimore?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Shocking.
They're pretty good.
Yeah. Again, just like what.
And you should have got Luis Robert.
It's amazing what happens when you get out of Miami. It's amazing what happens when you get out of Southside Chicago.
Southside of Chicago. All right, we come back. It's everybody's favorite Fair or Foul, but first there's Schultzy with sports. This is Fair or Foul, everybody's favorite segment. There's the fan text line, Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Question real quick that I will address. Why is Reinsdorf an idiot for firing Guillen? Does he get no credit for hiring him? Yes, he gets credit for hiring him. They won a World Series. He is not an idiot for firing him. Guillen definitely deserved to get fired as the team got really bad. But fast forward 20 years later and Reinsdorf is like, I don't know, Trump level stupid right now. Just like an old man that's lost his way. Or Biden, whichever way you go. He's just old now and doesn't know what the hell's going on.
Can I read?
He hired Tony La Russa for crying out loud.
Can I read his Fidel Castro quote? I love Fidel Castro. I respect Fidel Castro. You know why? A lot of people have wanted to kill Fidel Castro for the last 53 years, but that mofo is still here.
That mofo is still here. And he didn't say mofo.
No.
It says here,
the quote
in quotes,
is mofo?
Mofo, yeah. Oh. No, I am not doing that
for... That is so 2008.
I'm not doing that for FCC purposes. That is what he said.
All right, we'll move on. This is Fair or Foul. Without further ado, we'll turn it over to our fantastic producer, Schultzy.
What's going on, guys? You know, I could talk Ozzie Guillen all night. didn't he call out, like, the White Sox players for being so terrible that nobody would want them?
What he said about
a couple weeks ago.
He was
ago,
like, trade deadline. Why are you getting ready to leave? Nobody wants you. I think he said nobody wants your sorry ass.
Yeah, who would want you? For real. Yeah, and I'm sure he probably called them all sorry asses.
Bunch of mofos.
Pull a Deion Sanders and just get a whole new roster if he takes over next season, right? That turnover. All right, guys, I got three Fair or Foul questions tonight, and then a little bit of a fun announcement. It's related to the show, so I wanted to let you guys know something that's happening pretty cool in my life and wanted to pass it along. But let's start off with this was so fun. I really want to try to stump you guys again with the list of may or may not have been Seattle Mariners.
We're doing this again.
Because I picked players. I tried to find players that you'd all remember, okay?
All right.
I didn't go like obscure.
Sprague's former uncle or something
exactly.
like that.
Like I've never played for any other team besides the Mariners. I really tried to find some
played
good
one
names.
Game in 84.
Exactly. Well, hey, this actually might be something on this list, but at least it's a name you know. Okay, guys, so fair or foul, all four of these players have spent time in a Seattle Mariners uniform. Rich Aurelia, our show's favorite pitching coach, Mike Maddux, Ricky Henderson, and Mike Sweeney. Fair or foul, all four of these players have spent time in a Seattle Mariners uniform. Rich Aurelia, Mike Maddux, Ricky Henderson, or Mike Sweeney?
Sweeney, yes. I'm pretty confident on that.
Ricky, yes. Ricky's a hard yes.
A hard yes.
I think Rich Aurelia is a hard yes as well.
What was that one? What's the fourth one we're missing there?
Oh, pitching coach Mike Maddux.
Mike Maddux.
Our boy.
Yeah, our boy.
Damn it.
Our boy Mike Maddux. That's the one I don't know. I think the other three are hard yeses. I know Ricky's a hard yes.
I'm going to say fair. Just for S and Gigs. I have no leaning anywhere on this, but I'm pretty confident about Sweeney. That's the only one I am confident about.
Going against, and I am 100% confident about Ricky.
Yeah.
Going against what most people do on the other shows in this station and be the outside, I'm going to agree with Joe and say fair.
Nice. You guys nailed it. Good job.
Yeah!
See, I was trying to have some fun with this. I don't want to completely stump you, and I'm the only one that's thinking of guys like Joe Beimel who pitched for the Mariners.
Nah, we ain't taking that.
He was like, what? All right, so yeah, Rich Aurelia really quickly was signed to play a one-year deal with the Seattle Mariners in 2004 after coming off of a nice season with the Giants, played absolutely horribly for them. I mean, hitting 240 back in the day, I guess today that's good, but back then it was bad.
Rich Aurelia, strong goatee.
Oh, he was...
like one of the most perfectly kept, brilliant goatees I've ever seen.
He was like very, very clean cut lines on that hair. Mm-hmm. Actually still has that same rockin' goatee, I believe.
Sure he does.
Speaking of guys on TV coverage for teams, I think Rich Aurelia handles like the post-game analyst coverage for the Giants, so people see him all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say shortstop for the Giants for a while.
Yeah, actually ended up playing back in San Francisco to finish his career, but ended up getting traded to the Reds during that 04 season and the Padres, signed with the Reds the next year and ended up having a career resurgence. So it's like playing in Seattle sucked for him. Mike Maddux did play in Seattle. You guys were wondering about that. The 1997 season, he spent 6 games in a Seattle Mariners uniform.
It counts.
Only pitched 10 innings.
That's our boy.
10 in ERA.
10 innings in 6 games. That's a lot.
I believe he got injured that year. I think that's why. He did sign with them, but was intending to play more, but just got injured. But funny one there. You remember how hard he is on Ricky Henderson. Of course, the 2000 season after getting released by the New York Mets, I think it was like May-ish, signed with the Seattle Mariners and ended up hitting a few home runs for him. Just a nice season. Ended up getting them to the wild card that year in 2000. And then finally, Mike Sweeney. That was
Kansas City Royal legend.
Mike Sweeney ended up signing a spring training invitee contract with the Mariners the year that they had acquired Ken Griffey Jr. back, the first of his 2 seasons with the Mariners before he retired. And Mike Sweeney ended up hitting like 500 in spring training. Just played so well that the Mariners had to give him a job. And actually extended his career a couple of years, ended up playing, I think, hitting 280 for the Mariners and then getting traded again after making the team for them in spring training the next season. So pretty cool. Just kind of a trip down memory lane, some names that have been popping up my head.
I saw Ricky on Reddit yesterday. That's how I knew it.
An AMA? Or just a Ricky Henderson?
Just a picture of him.
Yeah. Oh, like in a Mariners uniform?
In a Mariner uniform.
Oh, damn.
Sorry, dude.
How do I know you're...
I'm on the front page of the internet, dude. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, it's okay. It's the internet. All right, fair or foul number 2. This is regarding a former Mariner, Ty France, on the Cincinnati Reds right now after being DFA'd by Seattle, signed with them for the league minimum, and not playing horribly, hitting .233, 3 bombs, but 10 hits so far, and 21 total bases with a couple of doubles.
I guess that isn't horrible, no.
No, it's a lot better. He hit 3 homers in, the last 10, 12 games as opposed to, 8 homers with 90 total games with the Mariners all season. So, guys, fair or foul, Ty France will turn his career around in Cincinnati with the Reds.
Foul. Washed.
Yeah, I'm not buying that a whole lot.
I repeat, foul, washed.
Yeah, it's the last couple of years have been rough on old Ty. Hey, we just spent a segment talking about Victor Robles. you know, resurging his career.
It's kind of what got me thinking washed. About this.
Yeah, he's done. He's done. He made an all-star game. Great career, dude. Have fun. You can tell your grandkids. Brad.
All-time leading Mariner in hits by pitches. That's something to take with
Wonderful.
You.
Wonderful.
Yeah, right? In a very short amount of time.
Wonderful.
Weird stat. All right, guys. Know how you feel about Ty France. Fair or foul number three. The Houston Astros have been playing a hell of a lot better in the last 2 months than they did to start this season. Currently leading the AL West by a game over the Seattle Mariners. Alex Bregman helping them. He's hit four homers in the last four games.
Stupid.
Yeah, talking about Yordan Alvarez still slugging. They're doing all this without Kyle Tucker right now. Fair or foul, guys. This team will make the playoffs this season. We were saying that there really isn't a dominant team in 2024 MLB, but the Astros at this point are playing well enough, but will they regress to early season Houston at the wrong time?
I'll go first on this one. Seattle's kind of catching up a little bit in wild card, because I think for a while there it was like, if Seattle wants to make the playoffs, they got to win the division. Houston's been really hot. Bregman's it. Verlander's going to be back in a moment. Framber Valdez looks pretty solid. The bullpen outside of Presley is pretty good, which is wild because Presley was a top five guy a couple years ago. This team is peaking at the right point. And we talked two segments ago about lack of dominance. Of all the teams leading their division, the only team that's hot right now is the Houston Astros. I'll say fair. I think they make the playoffs. I'd be surprised if they make it as a wild card. I will take Houston to win the American League West right now.
I'm going to say fair as well. That's what I had at the beginning of the season. I've stuck to my guns all year long. At the trade deadline, I feel like Mariners did make better moves.
Yeah, everybody hated the Yusei Kikuchi move.
And he's been really good.
He's been really good.
In his two starts, it's like 11 strikeouts and then 8 strikeouts.
He was okay today, but they still beat the Rays. They won.
Yeah,
they won, and he pitched solid.
Yes,
I think he only gave up one run in five innings.
Yeah, I'm sticking with the Astros, but you mentioned that both of these teams, because of their winning ways lately, have been gaining ground on the wild card. I thought that it was going to be like only one of these teams makes it.
Yep.
In the playoffs, the Mariners 2 games behind Kansas City, and they won wild card standings. You got to hope that the Red Sox falter off a little bit and you can leapfrog them as well, but
and I believe the Red Sox will follow.
A lot of games left to be played and a small margin for those playoff berths.
Yeah, and if there's any chance that Kyle Tucker comes back, Kyle Tucker, Bregman hitting the way he is, Alvarez, who hates baseballs so much
and
that
hates
he hits
video
them,
boards too.
And video boards, like Yordan Alvarez hates baseball more than Major League Baseball hates baseball, so he just crushes it further than anybody else. Like, if Tucker can come back, this Astros team, I hate to say it, is very scary. Especially old man Verlander.
Ooh, yeah, I forgot about Verlander.
Speaking of jugs.
Cat Daddy.
Ooh.
Google it. Cat Daddy.
I can watch that clip of Kate Upton, Justin Verlander just throwing the ball over the dugout to her all day. Like her
you
smiling.
Need to look at Kate Upton. Cat Daddy is what you need to do.
Not on a work computer, though.
That'll be fine.
All right, guys, and then just a quick announcement. Really, really cool. Found out this week that I'm getting the opportunity to host a Seattle Mariners podcast.
Hey!
So I'm excited. I'm gonna get
I like that.
Appreciate it, man. Excited. It's a company called Believe. It's a digital media company. They've been doing a lot of team-based podcasts already for years. And excited to find out that I'm getting that opportunity. Going to try to find a former player to partner up with to do that. But really stoked to get that going here next week. So just wanted to let you guys know. I will be talking Seattle Mariners officially for somebody here very shortly. So my teal obsession will get to be poured even more into another program. So
that is amazing. We here at 1080 are extremely happy for you, and right here on the hot corner, Jordan, we support you in all this. Nobody knows Mariners like you do, and I'll speak for Joe on this. If there's anything him or I can do for you to make this thing successful, you just let us know.
Appreciate you guys. Seriously, I'll love to have you guys on. It'd be fun.
Full body paint teal. Ooh. Every show. Like Tobias from Arrested Development.
No, you should City Connect body paint. Straight blue and then legs black.
Oh,
anything but their cream colored piss uniform.
You go black leg, you're getting canceled.
What about the black and red alternates they had around 2000? Oh,
the Future Connects?
Yeah, Future Connects.
The turn ahead the clock?
Yeah, turn ahead the clock.
Those are badass.
That's the only way you can prove yourself.
Sleeveless Schultzy. I want to see sleeveless Schultzy.
You give me some ideas. I like that.
All right. That is Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. We come back. We'll wrap this bad boy up. Hot Corner, Today the Fan. You know what's kind of fun? We were talking earlier about this Arizona Padres thing. You know what's kind of fun about keeping that going is that they play at the same time all the time.
Is Fernando Rodney on one of those teams by chance?
You know, I don't know.
Not right now.
But I think we need to think about this. This has been asked many times on the fan text line and the YouTube channel to bring back.
Take cover! It's a twister!
But I just, for the life of me, every time I think about it, I just don't know what it would be. What is the alert that we need?
There isn't a closer who's as cool.
But it doesn't have to be. Like, is there a moment where a team is going to blow a game? Or is there a moment when a team's going to win a game?
We need an eccentric personality out there closing games. We need a Brian Wilson.
I can't do Julio striking out because then we'll just play it all day.
Yeah, we'll go deaf.
Just two straight hours of just
stop.
Like, what's it gonna be? Like, you know, the Dodgers play on the West Coast. You know, do we all of a sudden I hit it and it's like letting you know,
Jake Outman up to bat.
Your children are safe, but Shohei Ohtani has hit a 475-foot home run in Chavez Ravine.
Everybody,
you know, like it can be whatever we want.
I don't know. I felt like it was
check your windshields
because of Fernando Rodney. How unique
it was! So
he
beautiful.
Was,
it was so beautiful.
How different he was!
Shout out Voldemort.
It needs to be. It needs to be someone that is of equal personality. Like that is again a great player, great closer. Someone that is just. I feel like closers, man. They just have a different feel to them, different vibe.
I mean,
they can be. Like I mentioned, Brian Wilson, you know, like, dear God, that dude made a name for himself purely based off of his personality. Yes, he was good.
The beard.
Yeah, but because of who he was and being eccentric, that is why he got a lot of the notoriety he did.
So
Gagne with the glasses.
Starting a game gives you some serious adrenaline, right? You're ready to go. It's Tyler Glasnow, Blake Snell, Dodgers, Giants, Chavez Ravine, Sunday Night Baseball. Your adrenaline is pumping.
The hell,
all right,
hype, yeah.
But if it's Sunday Night Baseball, Dodgers, Giants, and it's 2-1 in the ninth, and you're the closer coming in, that's adrenaline, yes. But that's also like, that's pressure.
Yeah,
along with adrenaline, because you can have a bad first inning. You know, if Glasnow gets up there and. You know, who's that kid, Fitzgerald, for the Giants that's been hitting really well? Say he tags you for a home run. You're like, okay, all right, I'll calm down, slow down, and then he can throw seven more with 8 Ks and no more runs and a walk, and then you're fine. But as a closer, the pressure's all there.
I know, and that's why you need someone that comes out of the bullpen and is just waving his arms, getting the crowd pumped. You know, maybe he's doing some degeneration.
The John Rocker.
Some Degeneration X suckets on his way to the mound.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages.
Dude, now that I think about it, how great would it be if a closer came out to the DX music? Are you ready?
Are you ready?
That would be awesome. That would be so great.
Yeah, why does anybody come out with like, if you smell what
The Rock is cooking? The right? Rock says... Know your damn role. That'd be great. We gotta have DX in the system, I'm sure.
Right? Like how
break it down.
Like, how is there not somebody that has the nickname of The Rock or something like that? Like, oh, this guy's got ice in his veins. He's stone cold, and then
or like Kane, like when he comes out of the bullpen, just fire blasts from the outfield wall or something like that.
Yeah. What the hell is the meaning of this? You know, like how do we not have this?
Or, even better, the whole place goes dark. They shut off all the lights. And when they turn the lights back on, he's on the mountain, like Undertaker, just in the middle of the ring.
Second, third, first, and home. Fire shoots up, and he's on the ring.
Dude, let's go.
My God, that must be Kane. It's Kane.
Again, you have to be...
Why? Someone tell me why, damn it.
You would have to be very, very good to do that. But still, there's got to be a closer that leans into it sometime in the near future.
Well,
because
I think,
we've been missing one with a personality for a while.
Well, I think what's interesting is Mo has Sandman, right? Hoffman had Hell's Bells. We got Sugar with...
And he has personality.
Yeah, he has personality.
When he was, remember, he was with the Mariners. Scott Service shaved his head in Edwin Diaz's style after, what was like 60 games that he saved or something like that?
Yeah, I'm surprised, especially when Sugar Diaz, who is not Mo Rivera or...
Sugar DX?
Who is not Mo Rivera or Trevor Hoffman, who are both Hall of Famers. Once Sugar Diaz had an entrance song that was as epic as his is... I'm shocked it didn't spread like wildfire. Like, look, we live in a TikTok world. Who doesn't want an entrance music?
I think that getting a wrestling song, that would be fantastic.
Like, if I was Antonio Gates, all right? So Antonio Gates, is he a current or future Hall of Famer? Is he a current Hall of Famer for the NFL?
Who, sorry?
Antonio Gates?
Yeah, I think so.
If current not, or about to be?
If not, will be.
Yeah, so, like, Antonio Gates.
Gosh.
Antonio Gates played for Kent State basketball and football. Like, what if his entrance music in a football game was...
That's hot.
You know, because he's a former basketball player. Like, how do we not have this going on?
Yeah, I feel like with a closer, since you have entrance music, like... What also is synonymous with entrance music? Wrestling.
Oh, okay. Yeah, wrestling's good.
I mean it's everything.
Yeah.
It's everything.
You have to have that that music that imposes fear, excitement in the fan base. And, yeah, I feel like if you threw it back to some nostalgia, Attitude Era, some song. I mean, the glass break of Stone Cold.
Dude, the bell of The Undertaker.
Imagine bringing this back, guys.
And all the...
Somebody as a closer walks into this.
Zombie Nation. Yeah. I feel like they do that at 85% of minor league stadiums already.
Can we get some Sandstorm? Someone walks into Sandstorm.
Some Duhast. Duhast. Do we not have... We got to have Ramstein in the system.
I'm sure it's all in the system, but I can't look that up.
Duhast.
I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again.
Yeah, that's what this segment sounds like. Yeah. I mean, like, I know guys have different songs they walk into the plate with, but that's like 20 seconds. But I mean, if it's like the playoffs and you dim all the lights and then you just bring up some purple lights and it goes dong.
And that's what I'm saying. Undertaker, and he just appears at the mound.
It'd be insane.
You don't even see him walk up.
Yeah.
You just, or he comes out with some guy that looks like Paul Bearer and they walk down the lineup.
He comes out
with
a hood, with like a cape, a robe on, yes. And the hood is over him, and he walks slowly.
And does the eyes rolling back in his head.
And then again, he lifts up his hands at the pitcher mound and then brings them down and all the bases catch on fire.
Rest in pitch.
I swear to God, that'll stop your heart.
Dude, I think we just created... I am going to be training to become an MLB closer so I can get to this point someday. Because I don't know. Maybe I just start sending some letters to all the closers in the MLB going in their DMs and being like, Dude, you got to do this.
All right, that'll do it for us. We'll be back next week. Catch you up on whatever the hell is going on in baseball as we come down to crunch time. Like I said, I'll be on Dirt and Sprague on Thursday, so tune into that. For Joe Fisher, I'm Patrick Harris. Schultzy on the ones and twos. Go do something I would do.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.